Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
630 CHED Inside Sports with Reed Wilkins. Weekdays at 6 on 630 CHED.
Well, good evening. I hope your Friday is going as well as mine has been to this point. And the next 2 hours are going to be great as well. Got up this morning for an early morning round of golf at good old Riverside. Always love playing down there. Smoke had mostly moved on this morning, so pretty good weather. Actually preferable to the extreme heat that we've had for the last couple of weeks. Nice round. Got a little windy near the end, but a pretty good round overall. And my golf game, not completely incompetent, which is a step up for me. If I can golf at a slightly better than incompetent level, I'm doing okay. And then home for a bit, and then drove my dad and helped him carry his stuff into the old Army and Navy building on White Ave. My dad, once again, I believe for the 8th year, doing art walk. Doing the old Strathcona Art Walk, which is didn't happen last year because of COVID. And this year, it is moved into the Army and Navy building and set up over over several weekends. So there have already been some weekends of it being shown. So you go into the old Army and Navy building on White and you look at the art. And if you want to get a piece, you can get a piece. So there you go. So I think they're going 3-8 today and 10-5 Saturday and Sunday. Really cool. Really proud of my dad for doing that. He's become quite a an artist over the years. So that's pretty good stuff. You know, when I think of my dad with, well, a lot of sports memories with my dad, obviously, watching, being my coach when I was a kid and all that kind of stuff. But for some reason, I thought of this today. In 2006, probably would have been, I think, May of 2006, my dad and I went to Ontario. Most of my dad's family is in Ontario. I was just mentioning with Jaylen, my dad mostly grew up in Sarnia, so we were visiting his parents, my grandparents, who are no longer with us anymore. But we drove into Detroit one evening and went to a Major League Baseball game. At that time, it was my first Major League game, also the first Major League game for my dad. So we went to Comerica Park in Detroit, hung out a little bit in Detroit ahead of time, which I wouldn't necessarily recommend doing that all the time. We're in Detroit, and we go to Comerica Park a little early to walk around and really get off the streets, let's face it. And it's like, okay, well, we got to get something to eat. And in Comerica Park in Detroit, they had a Big Boy. The Big Boy restaurant chain had a little setup in Comerica Park in Detroit. And I'm pretty sure, and I double-checked before we came on here, that I do not believe we have Big Boys in Canada. I actually believe that it is primarily, at least in the United States, primarily a Michigan-located restaurant chain. But you've heard about Big Boy burgers and stuff, I'm sure. So my dad was like, I got to get a Big Boy. I got to get a Big Boy. So it's like, okay. So I didn't really want one. But so we go into the Big Boy, and they said, well, we're just opening. It was probably still an hour or so before the game. They said, we're just opening, so we got to get the grill going. So can you come back a little bit? So, okay, we walked around a little bit. I think I got a hot dog or something like that. And we go back to the Big Boy, and my dad gets the Big Boy burger. And we I don't know if we went to our seats or sat somewhere to eat it, and my dad takes a couple bites. And it did not look like an appetizing burger. It looked kind of like a messy, ill-prepared burger, which I suppose is often the case. You see these food commercials on television, and the burger is perfect. Like, let's face it, a lot of those burgers have had cosmetic surgery that are shown in the commercials. They are not pure burgers. They've been doctored. They've been airbrushed. They've had a little lift, a little nip and tuck, a little enhancement perhaps. So anyway, so my dad's eating this quite kind of messy and not appetizing looking Big Boy burger, a couple bites in, and I say, how is he? He's like, yeah, it's not great. He's like, I can finish it. And then he gets to the middle of the burger, and it's still cold. So I guess they didn't quite get the grill warmed up enough. And there was no need to ever go back to big boy again. So anyway, I don't know. Just something made me think of that. This way, helping my dad set up for Art Walk, it made me think of him getting a big boy burger for some reason. But okay, let's do that tonight for the off-topic topic. 780-496-0063 is how you can text. That's also the phone number, the hotline presented by CertainTeed Professional Grade Building Materials. You can get me on Twitter at Reid Wilkins, R-E-I-D-W-I-L-K-I-N-S. And the email, of course, is insidesports@630ched.com. Got a great email from a listener yesterday, which we talked about on the show a little bit. What was it? Not everything that can be counted counts. And not everything that counts can be counted. He was referencing analytics in hockey and other sports. I thought that was pretty good. So for the off-topic topic, you can send me or call in with your worst or your best. Let's do both ends of the spectrum. Your worst or best cuisine experience, food experience at a sporting event, at a stadium, at an arena, or whatever. Because some of these, now as sports has become more and more into the entertainment experience industry, some of the places have pretty good food offerings. When I go to an Oilers game, I don't eat from the concessions because it doesn't really fit with my schedule or where I am in the building. At Elks games, rarely, I would say these days. I live really close to the stadium, so I don't need to eat when I'm there. So you can tell me that. Any really good or really gross food experience at a stadium. NHL, Major League Baseball, Minor League Baseball, CFL, NFL, wherever you want to go with that. Thanks a lot for tuning in tonight. My name is Reid Wilkins. It's Inside Sports on Oilers and Elks Radio, 630 Ched. Oh, we're getting there, everybody, with the Canadian Football League, August 7th. August 7th. What are we at now for that? Just over 3 weeks away for the Elks actually playing a game at Commonwealth Stadium. They're going to be taking on the Ottawa Red Blacks, 8 p.m. Saturday, August 7th. And of course, we'll have it for you right here on 630 Ched. Well, somebody has just sent me their a picture of the pizza they are currently eating. I don't know if that... thank you for a picture of your pizza. I probably shouldn't let you know that you can text photos into the text line. I discourage photos, quite frankly. I prefer just text. So there you go. Well, that's from Vic. I think Vic would have sent me that anyway, even if I wasn't talking about food. He's got a half-eaten pizza. Well, it's good, Vic. Congratulations, I guess. Good start to the Friday. You never know what people are going to send. We're going to hit on a few different things tonight. We're going to have Ryan Wagman on the show, who's the director of prospect scouting with McKean's Hockey. And we're going to go in depth into the NHL draft, especially the first round. A couple of guys from the Michigan Wolverines likely to go 1-2. Dylan Gunther from your Oil Kings. How high is he going to go? I would be certain he's going to go in the top 10, maybe even in the top 5. I think after the top 2, it kind of opens up a little bit, but Ryan will give us his take. And, of course, goaltending, which we discussed on the show yesterday, taking a goaltender in the first round. Should you be hesitant? How sure do you have to be that the guy is going to turn into a franchise goalie? A lot is made of this year in the NHL playoffs. The 4 starting goalies in the semifinal teams were all first round picks. It doesn't always happen that way, but if you can get a sure bet in the first round, and the Oilers, let's face it, the Oilers need a franchise goalie. And that's nothing against how Mike Smith played. And I think Mike Smith is going to be re-signed here for a year or two, probably after the expansion draft. I think they're going to get something done with Adam Larson. I know there's been a little bit of doubt cast in that area lately, but I do think Adam Larson will be re-signed. I think he wants to play in Edmonton, and I think that they're going to work something out. Anyway, he's not a goaltender. But, if the Oilers could jump on Sebastian Cosa in the first round, would you do that? After the 2 good years he's had with the Edmonton Oil Kings. Now, I know they have other guys in the system, Stuart Skinner, who I think they're likely going to protect tomorrow. Don't forget the expansion draft protection list is due tomorrow, and I think they're likely going to protect Stuart Skinner. Mike Smith being a free agent, probably not going to be claimed. Mikko Koskinen being not worth the money that he's paid in his contract, highly unlikely to be claimed. Though I did have someone tell me today that they would not completely rule out. Now, they didn't say it was likely, but they didn't completely rule out a Mikko Koskinen trade. Apparently, there are a couple of teams out there that think, well, maybe we could have this guy around. So I don't know if the Oilers would have to retain money in a situation like that, but I did get that little tidbit from someone today. And, Ilya Konovalov in the system, Olivier Rodrigue in the system, all pretty good prospects. The Oilers didn't take any of them in the first round. So maybe if Sebastian Kosa is there at officially 20th overall, but really it's the 19th overall pick because Arizona is forfeiting their first round pick this year, maybe the Oilers take the plunge and draft Sebastian Kosa. So I want to get into that. Trent Brown's going to check in a little bit later on from the title sponsor of this show. 8-year safety with the Double E football team, 1993 Grey Cup champion. Going to be awesome to have him on the show. And we'll talk a little bit about cheating. That's right. With Mike Johnson, former Montreal Expos pitcher. I'm going to ask Mike, I mean, when he was a pitcher, and this is the story, one of the stories in baseball this year, this spin rate on baseballs, pitchers being accused of doing something to doctor the ball or improve their grip. And you've probably watched games or seen highlights where the opposing manager will say, hey, check out that guy's glove, belt, hat. And you've seen some pitchers get really mad, shouting at the other dugout, partially disrobing to show the umpire, like, hey, I don't have pine tar down my gaunch. Okay. I'm not using that to increase my hold on the baseball. So anyway, we'll talk about that with Mike as well. Tom says, hey, Reed, do the old beers from Northlands Coliseum count as best and worst? Half a beer and you're taking an Uber home. Well, we can count that, sure. John, well, this is not a, I don't know if I should read this, John. It's an off topic. It's off the off topic. Because our off-topic topic is your best or worst food experience at a sporting event. Maybe I'll save this one, John, because that's it. It's not at a sporting event. It's just more of like bad service in an awkward situation you had. Maybe I'll get to that one a little bit later on. 780-496-0063. Quick timeout. Inside Sports on Chet. We have a trade to tell you about in the NHL tonight. The Detroit Red Wings get defenseman Nick Leddy from the New York Islanders. And the Islanders get forward Richard Panik and the 52nd overall pick in the draft. So that's a second round pick, which the second round will be held next Saturday. And who originally had that pick? The Edmonton Oilers. That would have been one of the ones involved in the Gagne Athanasiou trade. Detroit also retaining 50% of Panik's salary, which will be just under $1.5 million, actually just under $1.4 million. So that is the deal. And there we go. So Richard Panik and a pick going to the Islanders, and the Red Wings get Nick Leddy. Just came down a few minutes ago. Ryan says, Reed, can you explain why the Oilers are picking 19th in the draft or why Arizona would forfeit their pick? I've heard it lots, but I don't know why that is. Yes, I can quickly sum it up for you. When was this announced? I just Googled it to check the date. This is from last August. The Coyotes were stripped of their 2020 second round pick. So the last year's draft was in October, and this year's first round pick. They violated the scouting combine policy by conducting physical tests of draft eligible players. I'm just reading from an old story. I just want to make sure I got the wording right here, Ryan. The Coyotes were deemed to have broken the rules by testing prospects outside of the combine, which is prohibited, because they want it to be fair for everybody. So they broke basically some scouting and combine rules. So that's their punishment. So the reason, when you look at an official NHL document, and I got the official, you know, email with the draft order a few days ago, and the Coyotes, where it says that they were going to pick, it just says pick forfeited. So that spot, according to the NHL, still exists, but there's not going to be a player picked. So that's why I'm saying, when you see what the NHL put puts out, it'll say the Oilers pick 20th overall, but it's really going to be the 19th player selected. Yeah, the Coyotes were supposed to be picking 11th. That pick is forfeited. So that's why you might see the NHL say in the guide and record book, to quote Ken Holland, the Oilers have the 20th overall pick. Really, it's the 19th player selected. I hope that makes sense, Ryan. Best and worst food experiences at a sporting event. This individual says, I went to see a game in the new Rogers Place. We ate at the Studio 99 Lounge. The food was over the top, the variety crazy, the number of Connor McDavid jerseys crazier. Of course, for the last couple of seasons when there were fans, Rob Brown and I were doing the Face-Off show and Overtime Open Line in Studio 99. Bob Stauffer, Jack Michaels would drop by. Well, Bob's pretty much on every Face-Off show. This texter says a beef on a bun and a lamb spiced rum and cola at the Coliseum while cheering the oil as they walk right past you to the ice. Yeah, was that the Air Canada Lounge it was called for a while? And the team would walk right through that or go onto the ice. Now, here's one of my regrets in life. And this person writes in PNC Park in Pittsburgh, Promonte Brothers. I went to a game when Onright and I did our ballpark tour in 2007. We went to PNC Park. It's an awesome ballpark. For some reason, I didn't get Promonte Brothers. So that makes me sad. JP says, best arena food experience was the hot dogs at the Forum in Montreal. The buns were fresh and toasted, so delicious. Never had that one good since. Well, now people are starting to pick up on this food topic. We'll bounce in and out of this as the night goes on. This is some fun stuff for sure. Okay, yeah, we'll dive into the draft a little bit as well when we get back. Coming up,
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
For the 6:30 news, hey, thanks a lot for listening tonight. Really hope you're having a great day. Thanks for spending some of it here. Talk to you in a few minutes. Thank you, Mr. Nugent Hopkins. 8-year deal a couple of weeks ago with the Edmonton Oilers, who made news there, made news with the Duncan Keith trade, and as I was referencing, still more news to make for the Oilers. Look, we'll see what they do with the goaltending, see what they do with Larson, maybe still looking for another defenseman. Certainly need help up front, which I'm going to discuss here in a couple of minutes. And as I have said oftentimes, probably need an entire third line, or they absolutely need a third line center. I was hopeful that Kyle Turris could do the job at a competent level last season. He did not. Perhaps he winds up getting buried in the minors this year. Maybe an entire, when I feel pessimistic about the club, I start thinking they need an entire third line. And I've thrown that out there on the show a few times. No one really argues with me, so I must be right. 780-496-0063 if you want to chime in by texting or phoning. The Blue Jays back at it tonight, 6-0. The Blue Jays lead Texas after four innings, and the Blue Jays are coming home. This is pretty cool. They will start playing the home games at Rogers Centre in Toronto starting on the 30th. They have not played in Toronto since September of 2019. Can also tell you, the Open Championship, the British Open, as we call it on this side of the pond. Louis Oosthuizen has the lead after two rounds. He's 11 under par, shot a 65 today, shot a 64 yesterday. Looking good. Colin Morikawa, who won the PGA Championship in 2020. He's in second place, two back at -9. 8 under in third is Jordan Spieth. Dustin Johnson, one of three golfers, 4 off the pace. Canadian content, Mackenzie Hughes is 5 under and tied for 12th. And Corey Connors is tied for 17th at 4 under. Speaking of golf, this is a good one. Hang on, I got to find the text now. Sorry about that. Tippy writes in. He says, my buddy and I picked up tickets for the U.S. Open in San Francisco. Olympic Club. Webb Simpson won. That was the one when, during the ceremony at the end, Simpson's getting the trophy presented, and this random guy walked up. We were talking about this a few days ago, sporting events being interrupted by spectators, and this random guy walked onto the 18th green and started making some kind of bird calls, just these bird noises. And I think one of the bigwigs at the U.S. Golf Association tackled him and pulled him off the green into a bunker. Anyway, Tippy says, my buddy and I pick up tickets for the U.S. Open in San Francisco. We didn't have tickets for Thursday, so we got some off Craigslist, and we didn't know they were corporate tickets. We go to the food tent, and it's all you can eat and drink. And we were the only two guys not dressed up. Tippy adds an LOL. Well, that's quite a deal, Tippy. Do they make you dress up to go to a corporate tent, or people do dress up to go to a corporate tent at a golf major? You think you could get by with, you know, a decent pair of shorts and a golf shirt? Like, were people actually in full suits? All right, a couple people are telling me. First of all, Richard emailed me, insidesports@630chad.com. He says there used to be a big boy in Edmonton. He says it was downtown. And Cliff says, back in the 70s and early 80s, there was a big boy in Edmonton, 118th Avenue and 34th Street, Beverly area. It had the huge big boy sign holding their famous burger. All right. Now, I don't think there are any more big boys in Canada, as I referenced off the top of the show. And everything I looked up on big boy didn't say there were any in Canada. But apparently, big boy used to be in Canada, and now it is not. So I appreciate that update. 780-496-0063. I'm learning a lot tonight. I obviously, 70s and early 80s. I do sort of remember that. All right. Trade today in the NHL. Nick Leddy, now of the Detroit Red Wings. The Islanders trade the defenseman to the Wings for Richard Panik and the 52nd overall pick in this year's draft. That pick originally belonged to the Edmonton Oilers. They traded it to the Wings, who now traded to the Islanders, and Elliot Friedman reporting that Detroit also retaining 50% of Panik's salary as the Islanders looking to clear out a little bit of space. Jalen Nye, my colleague here at 630 Chet, says the variety of food at the New Orleans Superdome is off the charts and the best Bloody Mary I've ever had in my life. It was pricey, though. Okay. That's a good one. Doug writes in. He said, I had a really good cheesesteak from one of the major vendors at a Phillies game at Citizens Bank Park when I went there for the NHL draft. And Doug adds, I happen to be sitting right in front of Jack Michaels, of all people. Okay. That's awesome. We started talking about this. Anyway, long story short, if you've missed it, I was talking about my dad, him getting a big boy burger in Detroit at Comerica Park in 2006. It was awful. So I asked your best or worst food experience at a sporting event. So that's why we're kind of winding through this tonight. We do have a little bit of news here about the Edmonton Elks. They will not have the scrimmage tomorrow. Instead, they're going to have a team walkthrough from 11:30 to 12:30. I'm just reading this for the first time, actually, as the email just came in. Saturday's previously scheduled scrimmage has been canceled to provide additional rest and recovery time for players. No additional training camp schedule changes have been made at this time, as Sunday, July 18th, will remain a regeneration day. Okay, so a walkthrough tomorrow for the Elks, no scrimmage. That is the update there. And regeneration day, I don't think I've heard that before. We always get new lingo in sports. Used to just be called a day off or a rest day. Now it's called a regeneration day. Maybe I'm going to start calling, saying that to my boss instead of saying, hey, I need a day off. Hey, I need a regeneration day. Nobody's going to say no to that when you put it that way. that's funny. A regeneration day. I got to work that into my vocabulary. There was a big boy in Beverly and one on the other side of the Mill Creek Bridge across the street from the old Skona Cycle. Okay, we're getting memories of big boy, the theme of tonight's show. Actually, do have some hockey content coming on the text line. Former D-man Mark, who is a regular contributor to the show, so much so that, so much so that we should pay him. No, I'm not going to put out that out there, Mark, because you'll jump all over that. He says, good evening, Reed. Yesterday, I heard the murmur that the trade could be Mikko Koskinen for Phil Kessel. At first, I was like, no blanking way. Then I actually gave it some thought. Kessel has one more year at $8 million. Koskinen has one more year, $4.5 million. Really, it would be $3.5 million more when you do the swap. Like I said, when I first heard that, I said, absolutely not. Upon further review, it's intriguing. If Edmonton were just going to buy Koskinen out, I'd be interested. This way, we're done with his contract at the end of this season. No dead cap space. I think a lot would come down to numbers after all the signings are made. This is clearly a deal that would need to wait until after the expansion draft. He has a no move slash no trade clause. He'd probably need to be protected by Arizona. This proposal kills two birds with one stone. It rids us of the Koskinen contract and brings in Kessel, who could play the wing with McDavid. Yes, I know Kessel shoots right, but I'm sure that could be worked through. Well, maybe Kessel plays with Draisaitl. I mean, is that Yamamoto's spot for sure anymore? I don't think so. And former D-man Mark closes up by saying, not my ideal scenario, but tempting when considering the jettisoning of the Koskinen contract. Yeah, I do not think Mikko Koskinen will be bought out. I think he'll be an Oiler or he'll be traded. And again, from what I heard today, and look, we hear a lot of stuff at this time of year, and we all have our sources, and sometimes some are right and some aren't and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, what the indication I got today was that it is possible that there could be some interest in Koskinen for a trade, that there are a couple teams that like him and perhaps like him more than many of you do. I don't think he's going to get bought out. I still think the buyout would be James Neal if and when the Oilers do one. But yeah, Kessel, somewhat intriguing. So that is coming in there from former D-man Mark. The Big L writes in, after hearing about that potential Kessel trade to Edmonton, I'm having a regeneration beer. The Big L, not a fan of Phil Kessel. Well, it's funny we're working food into this, because wasn't there the hot dog story with Phil Kessel a couple of years ago? And yes, somebody wrote in and said, aren't the Maple Leafs retaining part of Kessel's salary? They are, guys, and I'm looking this up on the fly. I don't have Bob Stauffer's memory is unbelievable. I remember some stuff, or I remember that I knew it or that I looked it up, and I know where to look it up, but I got to get it again. The Leafs are retaining $1.2 million. So that would mean a cap hit of, what would that be, 6.8 for the Oilers if they did a trade with Koskinen, who's making 4.5. So there we go. Ron says his favorite arena food. Oh, this is something, Ron. Are the arena fries and gravy at the High Prairie Sports Palace, circa 1975 to 85. Incredible. Well, we could. Okay, that's. See, Ron, if you're going to send me that, you got to send me that so I have a couple weeks' notice so we could prepare an entire show around small-town arena food. Well, I guess it doesn't have to be a small town, because I was talking about, when I was saying sporting event, I meant NHL, CFL, NFL, NBA. Somebody wrote in U.S. Open golf. I'm sure there's good food at Wimbledon and U.S. Open tennis and stuff like that. But he says, but what, don't all arenas have good fries and gravy? I would think. And a couple people are now writing in about the Dustin Penner pancake story. Yeah, didn't he hurt a muscle in his back reaching for one of his wife's delicious pancakes? So There we go. Well, I hope you're following this show, because I'm honestly have a little trouble following it because we're all over the map, but I'm having a good time. So I hope you are as well. 780-496-0063. Somebody's already getting ready for Trent. Somebody has sent me in a Trent Brown question for later on. Travis from Blackfalds. Travis Blackfalds, of course, the newest entry in the Alberta Junior Hockey League. Aren't they going to start up in the fall? Is it the Bulldogs? I think it's the Blackfalds Bulldogs. And he says, I went to New... Oh, you're going to like this, Kellen. Are you there, buddy? You didn't leave the room, did you?
No, I'm here.
Yeah. Yeah. And thanks to Mitch Integrator for the reminder about the Kessel salary. And yeah, I looked that up. $6.8 million. He had that for sure. Mm. Travis in Blackfold says that New Orleans for WrestleMania in 2014 crushed pizza at the Smoothie King Center all weekend. So good. Did you go to that New Orleans?
Yeah, that was the one that was the one that I went to as well. Didn't get any food.
Well, you've been to several,
venue.
Right?
Yeah, quite a few. didn't get any food in venue, but I had the alcoholic partakement. We'll put it that way.
Okay. During the show. How many WrestleManias have you been to now?
Off the top of my head, I think three and one Royal Rumble.
Because he went to New Orleans. Didn't you go to the one at the new Giant Stadium, whatever it's called?
Yeah, MetLife Stadium. That was the most recent one that I went to in 2019.
And what was the other one you went to? Tampa?
No, 2017 in Orlando.
I thought you went to something in Tampa. I must be thinking of Orlando.
That's Orlando. That's the only place I've been to in Florida so far is Orlando. So
Louis writes in, he says, hit me today that potentially the Oilers may not sign Barry Larson or Smith and probably no Klefbom. That means we lose the entire back end. So it's just a scary thought. Holland has already spent $12 million on Duncan Keith and Nuge. Well, what are Nuge and Keith together? They'd be just under 10 and a half. I don't think Barry's going to be back. Though we'll see. I mean, if he looks around on free agency and can't get what he wants, maybe he circles back to the Oilers. I do think Larson will be back. I do think Mike Smith will be back. I think there's a very good chance, Louis, that you're right. Oscar Klefbom just won't be an Oiler again. He won't be an anybody again. I'm not sure that Oscar Klefbom's ever going to play in the NHL. I mean, he's pretty much been ruled out for the upcoming season. He may not play again, which is tough. I mean, you got to think about the guy there as well, not just what the Oilers are losing. Okay, 780-496-0063. Quick timeout. Inside Sports on Chet. All right, good to have you tuning in tonight. Bottom of the fifth in Buffalo. Blue Jays leading the Texas Rangers 2-0. The Blue Jays will be back at Rogers Center in Toronto starting on July 30th. They have government approval to play their home games at home again, which is cool. 780-496-0063 if you want to participate in the show tonight. We're having some fun talking some hockey. Talking some food choices at arenas and stadiums, your best or worst food experiences. And we will talk a little bit about, well, I was going to say cheating in baseball, but I don't know if it's out and out cheating. But you've probably seen this season a lot of pitchers have been challenged by the other manager. Hey, he's putting something on the ball. Check his, you know, that spin rate. Is there stuff on the ball? Where's he keeping it? And they've had their caps checked, their gloves checked. So we got Mike Johnson coming up on the show. Edmontonian, played in the majors, primarily with the Montreal Expos. Played with Vlad Guerrero Sr., by the way. And now he runs 5-Tool Fieldhouse here in Edmonton. And I'm going to ask him, like, what's the deal? Did you ever do it? What's the advantage? How does this all work? I want to get into that with Mike, who's he's quite candid. So I want to see how that shakes down tonight. Mike from Slave Lake. Mike, hope you're doing well. How's the golfing around Slave Lake, Mike? He says, I had a 2-foot chili dog at Mosaic Stadium in Regina. It is to die for. Thank goodness the CFL is back. 2-foot chili dog. Mike, you probably haven't been hungry since you had it. Oh, that's funny. The Big L says, I bought a couple of between period beers and some popcorn at the Saddle Dome in 2016. I just finished paying it off. That's pretty good. Arena food is, even if it's good, it's, of course, generally overpriced. They kind of got you in a place where you can't go shop around. Norm in Acambay says the Kalmar Arena has fresh baked pie. He wrote fresh baked pie in all capital letters. It's the best ever. That is from Norm in Acambay. Okay. I'm learning a lot tonight. This is good stuff. Let's learn a little bit about the guy who's probably going to go number one in the NHL draft. First overall to the Buffalo Sabres. That is Owen Power, 6'6" defenseman out of the University of Michigan from Mississauga, Ontario. Ryan Wagman, director of prospect scouting with McKean's Hockey, had this to say about Power.
Power, as I mentioned earlier, he's huge. He's like, I think, 6'6", above 200 pounds. He does everything at a high level. You know, he's a very good skater. You don't see him play with a lot of energy. He just sort of eats up the ice without you noticing that he's moving almost because he's just that big. Big shot, really good puck mover. He can be very dominant in his own end as well. You know, he has things to iron out there, but he can be a true shutdown defenseman. He's not really comparable to anybody in particular, but if you imagine something between Brent Burns and Aaron Ekblad, you're pretty close.
Combination of Brent Burns and Aaron Ekblad for Owen Power. Pretty interesting and likely a Michigan teammate of his, Matt Beniers, is going to go second overall. And then we will see who the Oilers get at 19/20, however you want to look at it. We've been talking a lot about Sebastian Kosa from the Edmonton Oil Kings and the exceptional season he had. He is the number one rated North American goalie. He's not likely going to be the first goalie selected. Jesper Wallstedt out of Sweden will likely go before Kosa and possibly even go in the top five. I think now I'm going to give kind of a wide range. I don't think Kosa winds up going in the top 10, probably somewhere between 11 and 25. And McKean's has him at 19. So maybe he will be there for the Oilers as an option. I wouldn't have a problem with the Oilers drafting a goaltender. Now I understand like, oh, well, you know, Kosa plays in Edmonton. It's easy to just take a guy they saw, you know, fair enough. But he's number one ranked North American goalie by people who have nothing to do with the Oilers and the Oil Kings. So I think he'd be a pretty interesting selection if they could do that. But we'll see if they get somebody asked me, do you think the Oilers should trade up for Kosa? Here's the problem with the Oilers. Like, what do you trade up? I mean, they don't have a second round pick. And the second round pick next year is conditional possibly to Chicago. I know the Oilers have to make the cup final and Duncan Keith has to play a lot, but I mean, with conditional picks, you can't just keep swapping those around. So anyway, some food for thought. We're going to have NHL draft coverage next weekend. We'll have the entire first round on Friday, and then we'll rejoin you Saturday morning as well to take you through rounds 2 through 7. I hear the music. That means I got a break for the news and the weather. And then Mike Johnson is going to check in. We'll visit with Trent Brown as well, former member of the Double E football team and one of the associates with James H. Brown and Associates, our title sponsor here on Inside Sports. Oh, my goodness. We're going to name the animal tonight as well. My life has meaning once again. It's Inside Sports on Chet.
630 Chet, Inside Sports with Reed Wilkins. Weekdays at 6 on 630 Chet.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his 6-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his 2-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone. Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.